Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we come before Thee this morning into our worship of Thee, into this gospel ministry which You've entrusted unto us, and by which You have purposed to instruct us about the true issues of life, and call us unto Jesus Christ, Your Son, that we may be saved. We thank You for this great privilege, for Jesus who died on the cross to make salvation possible, for Your love for humanity, so that You sent Your only begotten Son into this world to come and live and die, so that all who believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit who convicts, who awakens, who indwells all who believe in Thee. As we come before Thee, we ask of Thee blessings upon us to enable us to worship Thee aright, in spirit and in truth. O Lord our God, bless us with attention and focus and concentration, and make us hear Thy word. Speak with the power that awakens the dead, that our hearing will not be in vain, but that our hearing will be in the heart and mind to bring repentance and faith in many souls today. O Lord, come among us, we ask, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymn books and we'll sing our first hymn, hymn 19, version 1. Hymn number 19, version 1. The heavens declare Thy glory, Lord. In every star Thy wisdom shines. But when our eyes behold Thy word, we read Thy name in fairer lines. Hymn number 19, version 1.
Glory, Lord, in every
scripture reading, this is Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And I'll begin to read from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's sing together hymn number 27, the rendering of this psalm, which helps us to reflect on what we've just read. Hymn number 27. The Lord, my Savior, is my light. What power against my soul shall fight? While God my strength to me is near, what foe can harm? Whom shall I fear? Hymn number 27.
Bye.
Our second scripture reading is the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I'll begin to read from verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath not man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come, and whither I go. Ye judge as of the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he said, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May the Lord bless these readings of his word and to grant us all the understanding.
We want to give a sincere welcome to all who are worshiping with us today, and we pray that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together. This is Grace Reform Baptist Church. To our visitors, we suggest that you don't leave at once after the service, but wait for a few minutes because we'd like to know you more. And also for a few minutes, brief prayer before you leave. During the week, our services and times are as follows. Sunday morning gospel service are from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Sunday school sessions are from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Sunday evening services are from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our Bible studies are held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our pastor, Anthony Bentum Enin, is currently in Cape Coast, preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. The preacher for next Wednesday evening Bible studies is our pastor. It's now time for our offerings for the Lord's work.
Pray together, friends. O Lord God, our Father, who art in heaven, once more we appear before thee in prayer, such a great privilege by which we are able to approach thee and lay before thee our petitions and our intercessions and bring unto thee our thanksgiving and our praise and adoration. At this hour we pray with thanksgiving for enabling us to offer something unto thee. We ask of thee that you will bless our offerings for the furtherance of thine own gospel ministry. We know we are unworthy to give thee anything, for your word says, Our goodness does not extend to thee, and that no man can recompense thee. Thy blessings upon us are so rich, they are so deep, that they are not comparable to our offerings. And yet it has pleased thee to give us this opportunity to offer unto thee, even as a means of our worship, and to show our gratitude, and to thank, and offer something for the furtherance of thine gospel ministry. O Lord, we come before thee with thanksgiving also, for the manifold blessings upon us individually, how far you have brought us in our physical lives, the many things you have given us to enjoy, and the promptings you have brought to our hearts and minds about why and how we must come to Jesus Christ to be saved, how and why we must repent and believe, so that salvation will be our portion. Once we are alive, there is still hope for any who hasn't yet repented and believed. And as we come once more into this gospel message, O Lord, we plead that you speak with thy power that wakens the dead, to cause many to rethink their lives and examine themselves, and to come to Jesus Christ by repentance and faith. This is the ministry thou hast entrusted unto us, this great gospel, the gospel which warns people about the judgment to come, the gospel which invites people to come to Jesus Christ, the gospel which persuades people about Jesus Christ being the God the Son and the Son of God, and the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto thee except through him. The gospel which confronts every man to make us know that we are sinners, and we are helpless, and hopeless, and depraved, and that if we remain as we were born, we shall die in our sins and suffer eternal punishment in hell. The gospel which tells us that there is a great gulf between us and thee because of our sins, for sin separates us from thee. The wages of sin is death. This great gospel you've entrusted to us, not only on such a day as this, or a moment as this when we come into our gospel service, but in our Sunday school ministry, in our evangelistic ministry on Saturdays when we go out into the community, in our weeknight meetings, even in our teaching messages, gospel comes. And we ask of thee blessings upon every one of these works we do. O Lord, we know how weak we are, how helpless we stand in the face of the corruption of man's hearts, the stony hearts which every one of us is born with. It is impossible for any man to convert a soul. Thou must save, and thou alone. And so we pray that you bless the gospel. Grant grace that even this afternoon, when we gather in children and young people into our Sunday school, thy grace will shine forth in many hearts to cause many to repent and believe. We are trusting in thy salvation, that you will hear us as we do this service for thee, because you have promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against thy church, and that the gospel seed, though it is sown in tears, we shall reap with joy. This is an assurance that you will save surely, and this is the purpose for which you gave us this ministry, to serve thee as teachers and helpers in our Sunday school, to be assured that nothing done for thee is a waste or is in vain. By this assurance we ask of thee to bless thy gospel this afternoon when we preach. Enable us to gather these children and young people in. Enable many to come. Touch many hearts to have the love for thine house, the love for Sunday school, not for the biscuits, not for any other thing apart from to hear of Jesus Christ, for them to know themselves as sinners, and to hear the invitation of Christ that they should come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, says Christ, and I will give you rest, he continues. May the children and young people who come hear this gracious invitation, and run to Jesus Christ even as early in this life, so that the gospel seed will grow and become fruitful in their hearts, that the kingdom of Christ will spread. O Lord our God, we pray also for our brethren who are laboring elsewhere in other churches, preaching this faithful gospel truthfully and sincerely and with courage and boldness. O Lord, bless hearts, bless the pastors and teachers, as they will preach faithfully. They will warn, they will exhort, they will invite, they will speak of the dangers of unbelief, and speak of Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Light of the world, the one who calls sinners unto himself. O bless our faithful ministers and teachers elsewhere, in Accra, in Kumasi, in Swedru, everywhere else we commit our colleagues and our friends into thy care. Bless thy word this day, and may many hear thy word and believe. And even here, as we have gathered, we ask of thee to bless us also, that the Holy Spirit will come with unction from above to move our hearts and minds. O Lord our God, cause us to believe. Cause us to hear thy word with faith, and the faith which is mixed with fear, so that repentance and faith will be our portion. Let the message persuade souls here gathered, so that the faith will not be a blind faith, but a faith with reason, with assurance, trusting in thy promise. O Lord, be gracious and merciful and compassionate, and bless that thy message will go and not return void. O hear us, O Lord our God, in this hour. Bless us all, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymn books once more to hymn number 688. Hymn number 688. Light up this house with glory, Lord. Enter and claim thine own. Receive the homage of our souls. Erect thy temple throne. 688. This morning to the Gospel of John chapter 8, and we'll be reading and taking our message from verse 12. The Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we'll be thinking this morning about the obvious theme, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Such an important subject for us to think about as we look at our circumstances in this life and consider the issues which confront us, how we must think, how we should understand ourselves, what does it mean to be ignorant, and how can we come to true knowledge and understanding of the blessings which God has in store for all who repent in Jesus Christ. So I'm thinking here about Jesus Christ, what he says here in this message in the three areas we have. The first area is Jesus' claim that he is the light of the world. The second area, which is the call, that whosoever follows him shall not walk in darkness. And then the promise, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, the Gospel of John, I'm sure many of us know, is the Gospel which speaks most about believing and about life. Right from the beginning, the Apostle speaks from the perspective of faith and repentance, cautioning us about what life is according to the sayings of Jesus Christ. So you'd realize that unlike Matthew and Luke, John did not begin with the genealogy of Christ, speaking about his birth and his history. He also didn't speak about the angel's visitation to Mary before his birth as the Apostle Luke did. He goes straight to speak about Jesus Christ in his divinity, how he is God, how he was with God from the beginning, how Jesus is the light of the world, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and that we must be born again. The Gospel of John is quite different, and in this chapter which we have, there is further elaboration of those things which the Apostle speaks about. And the chapter has in the background the Feast of the Tabernacles. You can read from verses 6 all the way, chapter 6 down to chapter 8, and you see that it was a time when there was a great gathering of Jews in this feast. So in chapter 6, he had fed 5,000, and then he spoke of himself there as the bread of life. Then in chapter 7, he spoke of himself as the living water, and here he speaks as the light of the world. And he does it in the context of some light. In this context, in verse 12, Jesus spoke quite early in the morning when the sun was rising. And we know the sun is a source of light for us. And then also, in the morning, this was the day after the Feast of the Tabernacles, when the lights which were lighted in the temple were dim. They had been turned off, and what was left was the smoking flax. So in the midst of these lights, the light of the temple and the light of the sun, Jesus speaks of himself as the true light of the world. So that is in the early part of this chapter. Then from verses 12 to 19, verses 20 to 29, he talks with the Jews in the temple about his person and mission, and this brings arguments between them. I'm sure you would have heard when we were reading that passage. Many believe in his word, verse 30, and then he goes on to say that he is the light of truth, and that leads to freedom for his disciples, spiritual sonship, and eternal life, verses 31 to 51. And then he speaks boldly that before Abraham was, he was, and that he is the I Am, verses 52 to 59. So with this background in mind, we come to understand why he spoke, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness but shall have the light of life. So we'll be thinking about this subject, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. And this is an interesting translation, very helpful. There is another translation similar to what Jesus says here in John chapter 10, verse 10. We don't need to turn there, but there he says, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And you would have thought that is a wrong translation because it's poor grammar. "I am come." But in the original, it is right, because the "I am" is a reference to Jesus in his divinity, to inform us that the one who is speaking must not be taken lightly at all. "I am," which is a statement of his deity. He says that if ye believe not that I am he, or I am, you shall die in your sins. So this is God speaking. Jesus did not say, "God is the light of the world," as if referring to the Father, which he does implicitly, but he speaks of himself because he is God incarnate. Why should we believe in this famous statement that he makes? It is because he is God. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one, equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that is why we say that he speaks with authority, and also he speaks exclusively. "I am." He didn't say "we are," I and the apostles and prophets. "I am the light of the world, the only source of light." And he is the only one who has the right and the authority to speak like this. So it is important for us to hear him at this beginning of our message. Why must we hear him only? Because the Bible says so. I am not the one saying it. There are references in the Bible which tells us that. In Matthew 17 verse 5, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the Father speaking when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. "This is my beloved Son," the Father said, "in whom I am well pleased." And then the end of the sentence is, "Hear ye him." This is important. Elsewhere, John 5 verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," not the apostles, not the prophets, not a pastor, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Then, the third reference which informs us why we must believe these things is what Moses said of him in the Old Testament. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken," or hear. Right? So it is important we hear about the authority of Christ, about the divinity, and about his exclusivity. Why he alone must be heard. That is from the words "I am." Then he says, "I am the light of the world." And here we must understand what light means, especially because as we sit here, there is so much light around us. The light of the sun and the artificial light we have in this room, plus our eyes which are able to see, enable us to be able to comprehend light. We see light around us. And unfortunately, that light, this light which is helpful, can also be the blindfolding light, because it can make you look no further for the spiritual light which is being spoken. But God is gracious that he gives us natural and artificial light and eyes to see, so that will be pictures or teaching aids for us to be able to understand Jesus as the light of the world. And that should be helpful to us as we think of this. "Let there be light, and there was light," Genesis 1 verse 3 says. And there the world for the first time had brightness and life and energy and fruitfulness. All of those came from that light. Without it, the world would be full of coldness, darkness, no fruitfulness, and nobody could have been able to live. So light is so important. You can think of the sun, which was later created by God and then given the duty to provide light for us. That's the sun. The light of the sun is different from the light which was given in verse 3 of Genesis. If you read it, you will see. But what is the benefit of the sun for us? It is one of the most important things. In fact, if you take the natural life which God gives us away, the most important thing for man's survival is the sun. It gives energy, it gives direction, It brings happiness. You can think of how children go out to play when the sun shines, and the farmer takes delight in going to the farm to cultivate, and the world becomes full of activity and energy when light comes. Even artificial light, which is made by man, is also very helpful. The city comes to light in the night when there is lighting in the streets, when there is lighting in front of the shops, when there is lighting in the homes. The moment the light goes off, you see that everybody is going to sleep. So light is so helpful. It provides security. Why? Because if you don't have it, you stumble and fall. You can't find your way and you grope in darkness. Light provides guidance, for it shows you your target or wherever you are going, and then it gives safety, as I've indicated. One of the most important artificial lights, I'm sure some of you would know, is what is called the beam from the lighthouse. Until recently, when compasses were invented, when people went to sea to fish or to travel to another part of the world, the only thing that guided them was the beam from the lighthouse. A lighthouse is a tall building which is built on the coast at a very high point. And on top of that high point, there is a light which beams across the sea. And why is this important as we think of this subject? Because you can think of the mariner, the sea, the fisherman who has gone to sea, and then night falls. And then in the middle of the sea, he turns to the left and to the right and to the north and to the south, and there is nothing. Everything is water. And he begins to feel hungry. He rolls and never finds the seashore. So he becomes very distressed, because the next thing you are thinking about is to die in the boat and to be eaten by fish. Then there is a beam from the lighthouse which beams from the coast, and the sea, the mariner sees it, and then he becomes hopeful. He now finds that he has a source of life. He looks at that light and then follows it, and then finds the shore and finds safety. Light is so important for us. We can also think of scientific and philosophical knowledge, which is called light in the world. Why do people go to school? So that you become enlightened. Why do you read books? So that you become enlightened. And we say your mind becomes open, you become knowledgeable, your ignorance goes down. And all of this is captured under the word enlightenment. That the more you gain knowledge, the more you have scientific understanding, the more you get hold of philosophy, you become enlightened. I'm sure you understand all of these. But all these lights are very dim compared to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, as he speaks of himself. Indeed, he has to speak like this so that we can understand the difference, that no matter how much these lights I've spoken about are helpful, for the fisherman to see the lighthouse and run to safety, for us to be enlightened with knowledge and science, for the sun to beam upon us to enjoy its riches and the activity and the energy and the fruitfulness it brings to plants for us to eat and enjoy, yet none of them is comparable to Jesus Christ. There are some questions and problems about life that men of all ages have battled with. I am sure some of them are in your minds. Even among children, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Where am I going? What does it mean to live a meaningful life? How can I be fulfilled? What does it mean to die? And when I die, what comes after? These are perplexing questions, difficult questions which people are unable to answer. And they can't answer because philosophy cannot teach you. Science cannot teach you these things. You need some light, spiritual light from Christ. So these subjects lie in spiritual realms. About questions concerning life, questions about why life is short, why people are wicked, why is there corruption and deceit in the world, all of these lie beyond philosophy. Human beings have been able to invent aeroplanes, rockets, mobile phones, computers, all manner of inventions which we thank God for. And yet, without light, the light of Christ, all of these amount to darkness. So we have to understand this light which we are speaking about as in terms of creation, which is the teaching aid God has given us to reveal natural things to us, to direct us to walk without stumbling, to dispel darkness, to please the eye, to cause plants to grow. But that is teaching aid. The full meaning of light which God gives us is for truth and knowledge and understanding and explanation. What is the meaning of life? You can ask that question again. Why was I born? Why am I here in this world? What is my purpose of living? Am I here just to go to school and one day marry and make money and live and die? Is that the whole point about life? That will make us animals, friends. There is a higher purpose for man. And so the light is so helpful to us. Jesus Christ is indeed called the Son of Righteousness. Son, S-U-N, in the Bible, Malachi 4 verse 2. Very, very instructive. The Son of Righteousness. And why so? Because he reveals the mind of God. He teaches us that God is holy and righteous. He shows us that we are sinful. He shows that he, as he is the light of the world, is the brightness of the Father's glory. He directs us to walk in God's commandments so that we can avoid his judgments. And he takes away spiritual blindness. So this is important. Light. Jesus says in verse 12 again, I am the light of the world. What can we understand by of the world, those words? It is because this world is a place of doom. People find it very surprising when we speak like this, that this world is full of darkness. It is a place which leads people astray. It is a place you cannot find answers to those important questions. We say it is a place of darkness because it is full of ignorance. People don't understand who they are. People don't understand who God is. They take for granted their life and the school they attend and the health they have, the blessings God gives us in terms of family support, they take for granted. And they don't understand the real issues of life. Spiritual blindness has become the portion of man ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. So when we speak of the world, we are speaking of all the things which are outside of the realm of the spirit. What are some of the evidences of spiritual darkness? They are mistrust, cruelty, hatred, hostility, dissatisfaction, restlessness, weakness of the body, aging, diseases, disappointments, losses. Who in this world hasn't come across these? Everyone will taste of some of these if you grow in this world. That you will be hated at some point, you will be dissatisfied, you will become restless. No matter how much education you gain, no matter how much wealthy you become, no matter how healthy, one day you will taste weakness in the body, diseases will rock you, disappointments and losses. You will lose family, you will lose friends, everybody. And this is the world. Why Jesus makes a big difference between himself and the world. I am the light of the world. And the whole point is, because there is a world which is ruled by Satan, where he and his demons have taken control of many things, including governments, schools, hospitals, the institutions of society. Darkness. That is why Jesus calls himself the light of the world. You can't mix the two. You must have him or you must have the world. You can't mix them and put one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. All right? So, we speak of darkness in terms of people being followed by majority of people in our society. So darkness is not only in the experiences of life, but they can also be found in human beings because the devil works through them. He has appointed people who can become fake pastors, so-called apostles and prophets, professors, lawyers, and they speak very good English on radio and TV. They are very nice personalities. They come across with flamboyant lifestyles. They look very appealing on television and radio. and yet they are full of darkness, because they teach the things which lead men away from Christ. They make us only look at the things of this world and remain in darkness. Not only the experiences of life, not only people, but also there are things of the world which teach us about darkness. So if you make your career your only purpose for living, and property, and titles, qualifications, positions, promotions, your beauty, you make your investments, all of those your purpose for living and your highest aspiration in life, what you are doing is you are dwelling in darkness, and you remain in it, and you will die in your sin. So this is an important thing for us to learn. I am the light of the world. It is a statement making a contrast. I am the light, and then there is the world. And what Jesus means is that as he enters the world, he brings light. Let there be light, and there was light. So when we come into the second part where he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, he makes a very profound statement, friends. What he says is that there is a route by which you can leave the dark world and follow him. There is darkness and there is light, and everyone is born into the darkness. No matter how much you are in good health, no matter how much things are going well for you, we are born into the darkness, and it's our duty to now walk in the light. But how can you walk in the light? You must follow. There is a responsibility for you to follow Christ. But when you look at the words, he that followeth me, in verse 12, he, what Jesus is referring to is that everyone is being invited. He that followeth me, he is calling everyone. Nobody should take himself out. The gospel call is to everyone. And the reason is because everyone is darkened in mind. Everyone has darkness in his heart. Everyone has sinned. And men love darkness rather than light. I hope you remember that verse we keep repeating here. Men love darkness rather than light. Men prefer to stay away from Christ. That is why it is difficult for people to go to church. That is why it is difficult for people to read the Bible. That is why people prefer a church where they can go and dance and they will not hear the gospel. Men love darkness rather than light. They prefer to be told that they are wonderful people. They prefer to be told that they are very nice people and that everything is fine with them and they are good people. Wherever the gospel tells them that they are sinners, they are corrupt, they must repent, and they will die in their sins if they don't repent, they hate it, because men love darkness rather than light. Everyone is following someone or something for safety and happiness in this dark world, but that is futile. But Jesus is calling us. Why he says, he that followeth me, what he is saying is, remember that you are following. But are you following the right thing? And so he calls, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth, the invitation is to everyone. Everyone here gathered, he that followeth. What does it mean? He that realizes that darkness is in his own heart. That is one thing to know. Every individual must examine himself, friends. Have you realized that there is spiritual darkness in your heart? You were born with it, and it is driving you away from Christ. It doesn't matter whether you go to church every day. It doesn't matter whether you are even a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter whether you are serving, because you can do all of these for the show of it. It comes to your heart. Darkness is in it, and has that been taken away? It's an important thing to consider, friends. He that followeth, it means he that believes that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness of this world. But the darkness is so great that people are unable to see the light. There is a difficulty for all of us. Everyone who has tasted salvation can speak about the difficulty in coming to Christ. The message comes as repent and believe, which looks so simple, and yet why is it so difficult for people to repent and believe? Because we dwell in darkness, and the darkness keeps you in the darkness. The darkness deceives you that you are right, you are okay. The darkness blindfolds your eyes, and you can see no further. All you think about is the things your eyes can see and enjoy. You can think not beyond anything your eyes can see. So, remember, he says, "He that followeth me." And this is the picture. This world is dark. It is so dark that it had to take Jesus Christ to enter into it as the Son of Righteousness. He brings light, he brings activity, he brings fruitfulness. But he came, he lived, he died, and he walked out of the world, and he is now in heaven. And as he walks out, he says, "Follow me." And so the words mean, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." As you follow, you are taken out of the darkness and brought into light. This world will not tell you to do that. In fact, many of the things you hear, though they may seem very innocent, they may appear to be very, very harmless in the world, what it comes to is that the world has all kinds of descriptions and insults about people who follow Jesus. What do they say? They say we are religious fanatics. They say we are narrow-minded and weak-minded. You are following Christ, you are repented, you are no more going to the nightclub, you are no more telling lies, you are no more proud of yourself, you are no more doing the things you used to do. You have become very narrow-minded, they say. They say you are very unintelligent, because intelligent people are broad-minded. They are the philosophers, the scientists, the intellectuals, those who have big titles in front of their names and behind their names. Those ones are the ones the world will say, "We are fools." They say we are inferior human beings. We are believers in backward things. We believe in fabricated stories in the Bible that are lower than the dignity of modern man. Consider modernity, they say. Look at the computers. Look at the age of the rockets. Look at the age of science. And you are believing these stories in the Bible, so they will deter you from following the light of the world. These are spoken in schools. These are spoken by philosophers, intellectuals, politicians, in the media. And they organize talk shows, they mount platforms, and they provide discussions about how you can be happy and fulfilled, how you can improve your life, how you can have a successful business, how you can have a happy marriage, how can you get along with your children, how can you get out of financial troubles. And when they provide answers to these questions, their answers are that, "Follow us. I have the wisdom. I am the motivational teacher. I have the experience. If you follow me and the ideas I'm providing, you shall be enlightened." This is the world. This is darkness, friends. When you hear these things, rethink. Is this light? Is this darkness? And by this, people reject Christ. They make it difficult to follow Jesus. But Jesus says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." So please, consider the difficulty. Consider yourself as somebody who is in trouble if you are living in darkness. Seek help from Christ. Never take the gospel lightly at all, because there is great difficulty. If you dwell in darkness, your case is very, very sad, very horrible indeed, because you have not yet seen the light. So, dear friend, Jesus promises his followers, that is those who repent of their sin and believe in him, that they shall not walk in darkness. It is a gracious promise. It is something for you to think about and forget about all these talk shows and these questions and answers provided by the media, and run to Jesus Christ. He that understands the things Jesus says about himself, his light, the world of darkness, life, eternal things, that person follows Christ, and he follows as a disciple. Now, the third thing to consider as we speak about this, the third in the second point, of course, is me, that little word there. He that followeth me. Interesting. You see, Jesus could have said, "He that followeth God," or "He that followeth the Father," but he brings attention to himself. "He that followeth me." What does it mean? He is drawing attention to himself, as I said, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't come through me, you will not see the Father, because I am the torchlight. I have to open up the way and throw light in the way before you can find the Father. So that word me is very, very interesting. And it is not also about speculation. He that followeth me, it means you cannot just read about Jesus Christ and be saved. You cannot just think of him. You must actually follow, which means you must repent. You must not just be a talkative, but that you must become a disciple. He that followeth me, it means discipline, because that's where disciple comes from, the word discipline. He must become your master. His instructions you must obey. You must come under his commandments and his lordship. All of these, as I said, they imply why we speak like this for 30 minutes or 40 minutes about why you must repent and believe. Because darkness is a very serious condition of man, a very, very terrible one, which can blindfold you and you will never follow Christ. The best you can do is you can teach about him, you can speak about him, you can sing about him, and yet you will not be a Christian. You must actually be a follower. There must be a change in your course of life. There must be a transition from a point where you were onto a certain point where you have come to spiritual light in Christ. He that follows Jesus Christ only, and that is why we speak of the word me. Christ has the preeminence in this life. He is the sun beam from above. He gives spiritual energy. He will open the heart if you repent and believe in him. And when he says me, he also says we must give priority to his light. Know him before you know anything in the world. Alright, it is very interesting and very sad how many parents today, as I've come across them, all they are interested in is for the child to know mathematics and English. Secular education is so much given priority. Afternoon classes, classes after school, classes in the morning, vacation classes, all manner of things they will do for the child, and yet they won't open the Bible to teach them the Bible. They won't let them know the reality of life, that the child can even die early, and that even if he gets to know all of these things, it will amount to darkness, because they don't know Christ. But that is the lifestyle of people in the world today. I'm coming to the third point. The promise. Look at the verse again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There is a promise. If you follow Christ, the first promise is you shall not walk in darkness. And those words are very interesting. There is darkness in the world. Everybody is born into darkness. We go on visitations and people are very interesting. You ask people, were you born a Christian? And many of them I've asked, they say, yes, I was born a Christian. And they find it very surprising when you tell them, nobody is born a Christian. Everybody is born with a dark heart and we are all born into darkness. This world is darkness. There has to be a point where you have to change your course and follow Christ. But there is darkness in the world. Darkness, which here, as Jesus speaks here, he implies that you don't need to walk in it. Though you are born into the darkness, it is not necessary for you to walk in it, because he has come as the light for you to follow him. And if you follow him, the promise is you shall not walk in the darkness. No more. You shall be saved. All your interest in the money, in your property, in your business will go down. Every time you go to work, halfway through the work, your mind will be, when is the next time there will be a church service, a prayer meeting, a Bible study for me to go to. Right from the morning, your mind will be, I want to get over this work quickly so that I can be in the house of God. It's a testimony. It's the reality of Christianity. If you dwell in darkness, the church will become a boring place for you. You will come, and when we sing the hymns, you will go out and say, these hymns are for funerals. It is only something which is for people who are boring people. You will never rejoice because darkness is in the heart. But why do we speak of darkness? When you look at this world, you can find many examples of darkness. I have given you some, but let me say a few things more. Consider how many younger and older people today, the men especially, become so obsessed and so driven by football, pornography, fornication, alcohol and drugs. It is common in our universities. It is becoming common for many young people and young men to wear earrings, tattoos, and they worship sportsmen and sports celebrities and film stars. Football has become the new god. Young people know the players, they know their names, they know their history, and they can't quote one Bible verse. The god of the world today. It is interesting that the best football games, the most competitive ones, the most interesting ones are played on Sunday. Why? Darkness is in the world. They are trying to cover up the light of Christ, but it's impossible. Consider also how many young and older men are watching more pornographic films because now they have access to mobile phones, they have access to the internet themselves. What used to be that you had to go to a cinema hall and pay money before you could watch something like that, now it's common. That is why there is so much fornication, and everybody is doing that. It is common. It is applauded. If you don't do it, you are seen as a bushman, a villager, and you are old-fashioned. But why are people doing all of this, our young men and our older men? It is because that is the cause of the world. That is darkness, as I'm speaking about. That is what most young men are doing. This is the common thing which everybody finds to be something everybody should do. And there is nothing wrong with it because everybody is doing it. And so, that should warn us, because all of this tells us about darkness in the world. Consider also the immoral and immodest dressing of women today. It is not only the men who have their problems, the women. Dressing which reveals more of the flesh, short skirts above the knee, low cut tops, slit skirts, tattered jeans which reveal the flesh, see-through dresses, tight trousers that reveal the shape of the body. A few decades ago, anyone who was dressing like that was seen as a prostitute. Just 30 years ago, if any woman wore trousers in society, he was seen as somebody who was practicing prostitution. But now it has become common. It is even promoted. And what we are seeing is, as more of such things are being thrown about in our streets and in society, darkness is engulfing us. And Jesus comes and says, I am the light of the world. Why are people doing this? Why are our women following such fashions? Why are people becoming more interested in coming across like harlots and prostitutes? It is because that is the cause of the world. That is what you will hear everybody saying and everybody doing. It is the trend of lifestyle and fashion of the day. But why? Why is there no shame among young women? Why is there no sense of embarrassment when people show more of their flesh? It is because of darkness. So the light is an important subject we should think about, friends. The cause of the world is a wicked cause. And if you live like that, you shall die in your sins. So let's remember these things. Another example, the third one, is what is called cohabitation. I'm just giving you a few. How young people prefer to live together today before they get married. And they say, we have to try, we have to test each other, and know whether we can live together. And so they engage in a sexual relationship. They live together in the same room. And they think it is okay, because that is what everybody is doing these days. There is nothing wrong. Something which was an abomination a few years ago has now become the common thing. So, the Bible tells us through Jesus Christ to be warned. This is sin, this is fornication, this is sexual uncleanness. But everybody is doing it. Where did all these come from? Immoral dressing, immodesty among women, drugs and alcohol among men, bribery and corruption. Where do they come from? Do they come from the Bible? No. You would never read one verse in the Bible talking about the lifestyle which we find in the street today. All of those, they come from the world. People depart from scripture and then they begin to make their own rules about how to live, how to dress, what to eat, where to go. Darkness. Friends, let's remember these things very, very much, because they will keep us away from Christ and we shall die in our sins. He that followeth me, Jesus says, shall not walk in darkness. One little thing I can say as we head to a close is the word walk. You walk in darkness. And then also when you look at the words, you realize that there is no life mentioned there. In the second promise, the word life appears. But in the first promise, he shall not walk in darkness, you will see that the darkness has no life with it. Though there is physical life, we live, but darkness is there. Sorry, there is no life in that darkness. But the walk, it speaks about self-righteousness. Some of you I have known are finding it very difficult to believe why we say salvation is by faith alone without works. It is not a mixture of my works and my faith, and it is faith alone in Jesus alone which brings salvation. They struggle, but you can see it here. If you continue performing in order to go to heaven with your effort, you walk in darkness because you are walking. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and follow him, you will see the last promise: you shall have the light of life. It's a gift. It's freely given. So think of the difference. You shall not walk in darkness, which means you shall have the light of life. Physical life can be lived without the light of it, as I've indicated. There is darkness of life, which is common among all people. Promise of spiritual and eternal life is given. You shall have the light of life. Just a little explanation of this before we close. It is free, as I've indicated. The light of life is to be understood as in terms of the fact that if you live the life without light, then you go on for 80 years, 50 years, 70 years, perhaps 100 or even 120, and yet you have lived all your life in darkness. But there's a light of life which makes you understand that life is short. Man is vanity, even in his best days. The things around us are vain. And that every man in his best state is in total vanity. And that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that this world is heading for destruction. Before the destruction, God is calling out his people. As Jesus says, he that follows me shall not dwell in darkness. He shall have the light of life. Why must we believe these things? Why must we follow Christ for the light? Because he speaks with authority. He speaks exclusively. He is the Son of righteousness. He shall make life meaningful for you. And friends, let's bear these things in mind. Consider the spiritual darkness of your heart and the darkness around you. Believe that men love darkness rather than light. It is true. And apply that to yourself and ask yourself, are you one of them? Realize that you need Jesus, the light of the world, in your heart and in your mind. Hear his invitation: he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Consider his promise: you shall not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. Consider the freeness of his gifts. He says, you shall have the light of life. Repent and believe in him so that his promise shall be fulfilled in you, and then you shall be saved. The power from the power and the penalty and the pleasure of sin. And may the Lord help us and bless us in all these things for his own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing our final hymn, 484. Hymn number 484. Light of the world, thy beams I bless. On thee, bright sun of righteousness, my face has fixed its eye. Guided by thee, through all I go, nor fear the ruin spread below, for thou art always nigh. Hymn number 484. our Father. We ask of thee blessings upon this message we've heard, to cause our hearts to be moved to understand the ignorance in our minds and hearts as we are born with. That darkness is in our hearts and around us. Make us see examples of this darkness around us, to think and see Jesus as the only light, the only true light, and follow him, leaving that darkness in which we find in our schools, in the media, in politics, in the advertisements, and even in the dressing of people and their lifestyles around us. And may we follow Christ and have a new life in him, a life which is the light of life, so that we shall be saved and blessed and have eternal life for your own glory's sake. Hear us and bless us in all these things which we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, and for his sake. Now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.